Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. The title of the lesson this morning is Children and Parents. So in the last few weeks, as we've been walking through the book of Colossians, Justin did a great job of recapping where we're at, and I appreciate Justin and Crystal teaching last week, covering wives and husbands. Great lessons. We appreciate that being able to learn and to understand and to grow in our understanding of the roles of wives and husbands, what we're to be looking for in a wife and a husband. That's critical to our thinking, to your thinking as you look down the road and you see that you could potentially be married someday. And today we're going to be studying something that's maybe a little bit more applicable to you today, but then we're also going to be looking at something that's applicable to you in the future. To have a mindset of how to grow yourself. Because as we walk through this book, the book of Colossians, we see that we are called to have wisdom to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we have as believers. That's practical application to us walking as a believer. And as Paul has walked us through Colossians, he's walked us through his prayer, his ministry, the example that he has set for us. And then he gives us a prescription, the prescription to walking in wisdom, to walking worthy of the manner that we're called to, the calling that we have. And as we walk through that, the sections that we went through were first of all, protecting the church by knowing doctrine. In chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. And then secondly, progressing the church by practicing doctrine. We not only need to know doctrine, but we need to practice doctrine. Because knowledge that's not used is not worth anything. It's very useless. We've got to put it into action. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So as we walk through this, there were three requirements in the outline that we've been following, three requirements to grow in Christ-likeness. And we want to do that. As believers, it's our desire to grow in Christ-likeness. We want to be more like Christ. And so the verses that we walked through just prior to these verses that we're studying now were, number one, in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3, you must set your mind on things above. So there needs to be a mindset change in us in our pursuit of Christ-likeness. The difference is we don't set our mind on the things below. We set our mind on things above, having an eternal mindset, having a perspective of the mindset of Christ-likeness, not just what would I do, what do I think, what are my emotions, but instead, what does Scripture say? What were Christ's actions that I'm to follow and to emulate? What did Paul do that I'm supposed to follow and emulate? And what's an eternal mindset, not a worldly or earthly mindset? Then we go to number two, we must put off sin in verses 5 through 11. So in order to do this, I not only have to change my mindset, but I have to change my actions. My actions have to change. I cannot continue to act in the same way that I did as a non-believer. I have to change. It's something that has to make a difference in me. And then number three, we have to put on righteousness. I can't just walk away and say, I'm no longer going to sin. I've got to strive towards righteousness, to implementing the things that I've learned, the doctrine that I know. How did Christ act? What did he do? How did he think? What were his actions? What did he love? I've got to emulate that. That's something that I need to do. That's part of our sanctification process that we are involved in on a moment-by-moment, daily basis. So, as we've gone through those verses, it now walks us into, A was the three requirements of growth, to growth in Christ-likeness. You must set your mind on things above. You must put off sin. And you must put on righteousness. Then comes the application. B, so A was three requirements to grow in Christ-likeness. B is three relationships where we practice growth in Christ-likeness. Three relationships where we practice growth in Christ-likeness. Last week, Justin and Crystal covered point number one, wives and husbands. This week, we are going to cover children and parents. So before we do that, I want to back up and I want to have in our minds the passage that preceded these verses, not the wives and husbands, but verses 12 through 17 on you must put on righteousness. Because all of the verses 1 through 17 apply to the application that we're given in children and parents. We want to have those, the mindset and the attitude of setting our mind on things above. You put off sin and you put on righteousness. But in verses 12 through 17, if you have your Bibles, let's read together. And it reads, "So, as you have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, as a believer, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." So, before we get into our passages this morning, let's open in prayer. Father, I thank You that You have given us Your Word and that You have given us an opportunity to grow in righteousness and holiness, that, Father, You have made us justified by the shed blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we study these verses today, that You would give us a mindset that's open to the instruction of Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would teach us, that You would train us, that You would allow us to grow not only in our knowledge, but in our walk, in our actions, in our attitudes, that, Father, we would emulate Jesus Christ. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we get into the passage this morning, in Colossians 3, verses 20 and 21, this is how the passage reads. Colossians 3, 20 through 21 says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." So now I know that whenever I read, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things," you were hoping that you would suddenly have internet problems and you wouldn't be able to listen to this lesson. This is actually a great lesson because it applies to all of us. There is a heart and an attitude and actions that the Bible calls us to that we are to have, not only as children, but as parents. There's a corresponding verse in Scripture, passage in Scripture, that we're going to reference today as well. It's Ephesians 6:1, which reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." In our society today, the role of the children and the role of the parents has been somewhat convoluted. In the United States today, at least 8 million serious assaults are made each year by children against parents. 8 million assaults by children against parents. In recent years, a number of children have been convicted of murdering or hiring the killing of their parents, usually for no greater reason than resentment of parental control or discipline that they've handed out. Children who are told that they can do whatever they wish and can have their own way are children who will end up mocking their parents, teachers, moral standards, the law, and society in general. We see evidence of that all throughout our nation. All human relationships start with a parent-child relationship, and all relationships grow out of those. Children who respect and obey their parents move towards building a society that's ordered and harmonious and productive, and children that are undisciplined, disobedient, rebellious children will have a mindset of building a society that is chaotic and destructive, because that's what they know, because it is totally self-involved in everything that they do. Now, one thing that a mindset that we should have as we walk into this passage is I found in MacArthur's commentary, and he made a note, just a one little paragraph note about rights versus responsibility. Rights versus responsibility. Generally speaking, in any relationship or any interaction, we tend to want to know, what are my rights? Even in business, when we establish contracts and we establish the terms of a contract, I want to make sure that my rights are protected. I want to make sure that my interests are covered in that contract. And so the person that I'm doing the contract with, they're going to work towards the same end. They want to make sure that their interests are protected, that their rights are protected, and you get to a common ground. In a relationship between children and parents, we tend to, in the flesh, in our old self, which is very alive in us, we tend to focus on our rights. What am I owed? What do I deserve? What are my rights? MacArthur's commentary read this way. It says, "The world today has much to say about children's so-called rights, but the emphasis should be on their responsibilities. Emphasis on rights, whether by children or adults, weakens and destroys relationships on every level. It is the sense of responsibility that builds right relationships as well as right character." So as we walk through this, I challenge you not to have a focus on what my rights are, but what are my responsibilities? Whether you be a parent or a child listening to this message, what are my responsibilities? What am I called to, by Scripture, to do? Point number one this morning is how putting on, as we've talked about in previous verses, how putting on affects children. How the act of putting on Christ-likeness affects children. Verse 20 reads, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." We talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So Paul is turning to the second relationship in the home. First it was husbands and wives, now it's children and parents. That word children, and we're going to walk through some of the key words in this passage, just define who we're talking about. Because some of you, whenever I read this, you said, okay, children, you checked out. You said, I'm not a child. I'm an adult. I'm a young adult. This doesn't apply to me. Children are in elementary school, so this doesn't apply to me. Children is a term for children and is not limited to a specific age in Scripture. It refers to any child still living in the home and under parental guidance, and they are to obey and honor their parents. Children, it's not limited to a specific age. It refers to any child still living in the home, which most of you are, and under parental guidance, which most of you are. So this passage applies to most, if not all, of the youth that are listening to this. That word obey has to do with action. To obey is an action word. It literally means to hear under. That is to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. That's what obey means. Children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents and be obedient to the demands of, and to be obedient demands a continuous obedience. When I hear the word obey, I tend to think about the military. And if you go into the military and you have a drill sergeant and they say, you need to do this, there is an expectation that you 100% are going to comply with that drill instructor's directive. And you're taught to 100% comply because as a unit of men or women that are functioning together in the military, if you as a unit, you have four or five people of the 20 in your group that may or may not apply exactly what they have been directed to do, there's going to be potential chaos. There's going to be potential problems. The word obey means to hear under and to listen with attentive and respond positively to what is heard. I'm sure everybody listening to this is saying, that's a perfect description of me. That's what I do. Every time that my parents speak, I obey without question, positively. That may or may not be the case. And if your parents are listening with you right now, you can look at them and they'll let you know with their eyes whether that's the truth or not. Parents are appointed by God as stewards over their children. Until children reach the point that they are accountable before God themselves, they stand in the gap between the children and God while they're too young to have a full, mature relationship with God Himself, themselves. Parents are God's stewards, His proxy authority, if you will, for their children, who are simply loaned to them in trust by their own Heavenly Father. That is why children are commanded to be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The only exception to that obedience is the matter of doing something that is wrong, that's in contradiction to Scripture. Every believer, and I just want to make sure that I state this, that every believer is called to be obedient to Scripture above all things. So even if a parent directs you to do something that's in contradiction to Scripture, that's something to address and to talk to them about. But other than that, you are to obey your parents without question, positively and attentively respond to what's heard. Every believer should refuse to do anything that is clearly against God's will as taught in Scripture. He should have the same attitude and say the same thing that Peter and John said in Acts 4, verses 19 and 20, where it says, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Otherwise, however, a child is to obey his parents in all things. Proverbs 6:20 states, my son, observe the commandments of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. So as children, we are called to observe, to listen, and to execute the directions of our parents. That's what we are called to do. And you go, okay, I don't really like this topic, but this is part of the putting on. When you go back to verses 12, really verses 1 through 17 in Colossians 3, and it's talking and laying the groundwork of having this mindset, putting off these things, putting on these things, this is the application. This is the execution of those things. There are other key words that are mentioned, some of them from Ephesians 6, is it says, in the Lord. In the Lord refers to the sphere of pleasing the Lord, to obeying parents for the Lord's sake. Children obey their parents as reflective of their obedience to the Lord. It's a reflection. Our obedience to parents, your obedience to your parents, is a reflection of your obedience to God. Parents are to be obeyed and honored because to do so is to obey and to honor the Lord. That's what we're called to do as children. That word honor has to do with attitude. So you go, hey, my parents tell me to take out the trash. I take out the trash without question. But what is your attitude about taking out that trash? What is your attitude about executing the directives and following the guidelines that your parents establish? That's what that word honor addresses. It has to do with attitude, which means to highly value, or to value highly and to hold in the highest regard and respect. Do you do that for your parents? Do you honor them? Do you hold them in the highest regard and respect? Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. There's examples of that in Scripture, that the children are to honor and obey their parents. in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. Striking or cursing one's parents was punishable by death in the Old Testament, in Exodus 21:15 and Leviticus 29. It was not allowed. In Deuteronomy 21:18, which is an interesting verse, it says, if any man, 18 through 21, if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother. So, in the Old Testament, amongst the Jewish people, if a man had a kid that was not obedient, that would not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. It is viewed as a very serious act to not honor and obey your parents. God views it that way. That's the view God has. And in our world today, to mock your parents, to disrespect your parents, to not follow their guidelines, to push the limits of what they have established as rules, to disrespect them, to hit them, to talk about them behind their back, to have a bad attitude towards them, all of those things are not pleasing to the Lord. We are called, children are called to obey their parents and to honor their parents. Why do we do this? The motive for obedience is that it is pleasing to the Lord. That's the motive, is because it is pleasing to the Lord. Not just, hey, I want to grow in sanctification, which that happens when we are obedient to Scripture. It's not just, well, this is the only way I'm going to get what I want, which sometimes that happens. I'm a parent now. I have been a child, and I am now a parent. So I have a grasp and an understanding of both sides of this. As a child, the ultimate goal and the ultimate motive of being honoring and obeying your parents, of obeying and honoring your parents, is that it is well pleasing to the Lord. It is commendable before God Himself. As He was well pleased with His own Son in Matthew 3:17, so He deserves to be with His other children. If you are God's child, our goal should be, I desire to please the Lord. And the way that I please the Lord is obeying and honoring my parents. Well-pleasing, there's many scriptural examples of that, just a few of them. Colossians 1:10 states, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That applies to our understanding of doctrine and our execution of doctrine, just like we're talking about here in Colossians chapter 3. Hebrews 13:21 says, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So point number one was how putting on affects children. Point number two is how putting on affects fathers. Now, I'm sure all of a sudden you're saying, hit pause, Dad, get in here. You need to hear this. And you know what? Fathers do need to hear this. Mothers need to hear this. Because this is Scripture. This is what Scripture says and talks about, and it needs to be executed. But as a child, whether you be in middle school or high school or anybody that's still living in your parents' home and under their direction, you're being supported by them. You need to listen to this not with the mindset of, oh yeah, mom and dad, y'all need to hear this, but your goal is to continue putting on Christ-likeness. even in these situations, even in what your parents do. Whether that what your parents do is correct according to Scripture or incorrect according to Scripture. Whether what your parents does is pleasing to you or not pleasing to you, comfortable for you or uncomfortable for you. Your goal as a child is to continue to obey and honor, because understand there was not a caveat given of you obey and honor as long as your parents do what makes you happy, or you agree with their decisions, or this is comfortable for me. No, you are to obey and to honor because it is pleasing to the Lord, period. That's what we're called to do as children. But there are also things that parents are called to do. Verse 21, so point number one, how putting on affects children. Point number two, how putting on affects fathers or parents. You can put slash parents, and we'll get to that in a second. Verse 21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. Now, understand, I was a child at one time, and I would read this verse or hear this verse, and I'd be like, my parents need to read this verse. My parents exasperate me. My parents cause me to lose heart. And you know what? That could be the case. That could be the way that you're feeling. Your mindset immediately goes there. Remember, we are to change our earthly mindset to an eternal mindset. And we're to put off sinful responses and we're to put on Christ-like responses. Verses 1 through 17. So when we read this, don't just think about this is what my parents are doing, but think about how should I respond to that? If this is the case, how should I respond to that? This verse also interacts with Ephesians 6:4, which says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The duty in the relationship is not one-sided. Parents, children are not just supposed to obey and honor their parents, but parents have an obligation to their children. That word pateras, fathers, should also be translated parents, as it is in Hebrews 11:23. Paul's word to the parents is to not exasperate your children. So what does that mean? What does exasperate mean? It means to stir up, provoke, irritate, or exasperate. And you're like, Dad, Mom, you need to get in here. You need to listen to this. Again, don't focus on your parents, because one thing that you have to do, and we talk to our kids about this, Mandy and I talk to each other about this because I have to be reminded about this. When your mind starts going somewhere of looking at someone else, stop down and state, what is the truth? What is the truth of this situation? Because it's easy to allow your mind to run and say, oh, my parents are exasperating me. They're doing these things. The truth is, and I state this as a blanket statement, I believe this to be true most of the time. There might be a few rare exceptions, but the fact is, your parents love you. Your parents love you. Your parents care for you. Your parents want the best for you. But understand, your parents are imperfect, just like you are. Your parents are sinners, just like you are. Your parents make mistakes, just like you are. And your parents are learning as they go. Whenever Davis and Faith were first born, we had never been parents before. We had observed other people being parents. We had seen our own parents. But whenever you become a parent, and it is your sole responsibility to raise and to train and to teach and to instruct and to guide and to direct and impart wisdom and knowledge and discernment to this child, it's overwhelming at times. And you want to do the best, and parents make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're exactly right. But give your parents a little leeway. Give your parents a little leeway. That word exasperate means to stir up, provoke, irritate, or exasperate. To lose heart, it says in the passage, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. To lose heart is the idea of that term is to be without courage or spirit. It is the sense of being listless, sullen, discouraged, or despairing. Parents, as parents, we do not want to cause our children to be without courage or to be without spirit. We don't want to break them. Not the desire. There are several ways that parents can cause their children to lose heart. And as parents, we need to work towards this because we do not want to do these things, but sometimes these things happen. There's 10 things that were actually listed in MacArthur's commentary on this passage that I thought were really incredible. So I'm going to walk through these 10 things. First of all, number one, parents can exasperate their children by overprotection. Overprotection. Now, I'm guilty of this at times. My kids would even say this. Mandy would even say that I am at times, which is crazy because my parents were not overprotective very much. There were times that I felt that they were. But I went and did and had a lot of freedoms, and then my desire is to protect my children. I want to protect them. But overprotection is something that can be a problem. Overprotective parents never allow their children any liberty. They have strict rules about everything. No matter what their children do, overprotective parents don't trust them or have trouble trusting because nothing they do earns their parents' trust. Children begin to despair and may believe that how they behave is irrelevant. That can lead to rebellion. Parents that are not to provide rules and guidelines for their children. Parents are to provide rules and guidelines for their children, but those rules should not become a noose that strangles them. Above all, parents must communicate to their children that they trust them. So as parents, we can't exasperate our children by overprotection. Now, as a child, you go, oh, my parents are doing this. What's the mindset that we should have? We need to, as children, you need to work to earn your parents' trust by obeying and honoring them with your words, your actions, and your attitudes. That's your role. That's your responsibility. Because don't focus on what your rights are. I have the right of not having an overprotective parent. Instead, focus on what your responsibilities are and entrust the fact that God is going to guide and direct and teach and train your parents how to best instruct you and guide you and direct you. You have to trust in that, that God is sovereignly and providentially in control. He can turn the heart of your parents any way He chooses. The other thing is, in each of these things, communicate and talk to your parents. If you're frustrated, don't get angry or embittered towards them. Share with them in a humble way. Could I talk to you? Can I share with you? I have a frustration, but I don't want to be frustrated. Can you help me understand? Sometimes just walking through and understanding the other person's perspective can completely change the situation. I know that that happens between Mandy and I in our marriage. Sometimes it just takes taking the time to listen to their side and understanding where they're coming from, and it begins to change the entire perspective that we have instead of just looking at it from our own selfish, self-centered perspective. Number two, parents exasperate their children by showing favoritism. This is often done unwittingly by comparing a child's unfavorably to siblings or classmates. By making a child feel like the black sheep of the family, parents can create a terrible sense of frustration. One thing that we've got to do as children in that situation, if you say, hey man, that's happening in my house, be willing to exercise humility. Because really the thing that affects us is whenever we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Be willing to exercise humility. Praise what they're saying and seeing in others. Being willing to join them and say, yeah, that's an excellent attitude, or that's an excellent thing that they do, and learn from it. Learn to grow from what you see in others that is exceptional. Because ultimately, we're to be looking to Christ of putting on Christ's likeness, doing the things that Christ did that were exceptional, putting on compassion, putting on patience and kindness and love and humility. We want to do those things. Third, parents exasperate their children by depreciating their worth. Many children have been convinced that what they do and feel are not important. That is communicating to children that they are not significant. Many parents depreciate them, their children's worth, by refusing to listen to them. Children who are not listened to may give up trying to communicate and become discouraged, shy, and withdrawn. You know, one of the challenges, and that's something as a parent that we've got to watch and we've got to work on, and we've got to make sure that we're not exasperating our children in that way. We want to build our children up. But at the same time, you don't want to create a child that's overconfident and proud. You know, one thing that as a child, if you say, hey, man, I have a challenge, my parents are doing this, where is your worth? Is your worth in God or is your worth in people-pleasing? Something to think about. Our worth and our value is in what God sees in us and who He is. And then we have to continue to work to communicate with our parents. That's the key in every one of these things. Make sure that you're communicating with them. Don't lock down. Because what is the truth? Your parents love you. They desire the best for you. They care for you. They are imperfect and they're learning. They want to grow. Work with them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Number four, parents exasperate their children by setting unrealistic goals. That can be a challenge. Parents can do that by never rewarding them or never letting them feel that they have succeeded. Nothing is enough, so the children never get full approval. Such parents are often trying to make their children into something that they themselves were not. If that's something that you're struggling with, you've got to talk to them. But understand that it doesn't matter what they say. We are called in Scripture to do everything that we do as unto the Lord, whether it be playing baseball or studying for a test or learning an instrument or socializing at church or ministering on a ministry team. Whatever we do, even obeying and honoring our parents, we're to do as unto the Lord, because that is pleasing to Him. That's the mindset that we've got to have as children. Number five, parents exasperate their children by failing to show affection. Parents need to communicate love to their children, both verbally and physically. Failing to do so will discourage and alienate a child. You know, as parents, we're just like everybody else. We tend to get caught up in the things around us. I grew up in a house that showed a lot of affection, but I've been around people that their parents didn't show a lot of affection. That bothered some people, it didn't bother other people. But it can be something that as a parent, it would exasperate a child if we're failing to show affection to them. Make sure that we're communicating our love and our encouragement and putting an arm around them and saying, hey, I appreciate you and I love you and I care for you. And make sure you confirm the truth that you do care and love and cherish them and want the best for them. You know, as a child, the question that I would ask is, do you show genuine Christ-like love to your parents? Sometimes we want for ourselves what we ourselves are not giving. Are you showing affection and love to your parents? Are you showing disdain and not showing gratitude to them for what they do for you? Remember, focus on yourself, on what you need to grow in. Number six, some parents exasperate their children by not providing for their needs. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 comes to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Our trust is to be in the Lord, not in our parents, not in the government, not in the rules and the regulations that are allowed or disallowed in our country, but our trust is in the Lord. That's where our hope is. And even in our parents. And that's a hard thing to think about, because as a parent, I want to provide for the needs of my children. And if somebody is not, that's a hard thing to see. But understand, your perspective of what your needs are and what they truly are could be different. You could be thinking, well, they're not providing my needs. They didn't give me a car for my birthday when I turned 16. This is a really bad deal. My parents need to read this passage of Scripture. Where's my car? Not a need. Your basic needs are food and shelter and clothing. Those are the needs. That's what Christ had. So make sure that you're adjusting your thinking as a child to what are my true needs and where am I looking to have those provided? Where is my trust for those things? But as parents, we do need to provide for their needs. Children need things like food and clothing and shelter. And providing those necessities, parents show their respect and concern for their children. Number 7, parents exasperate their children by a lack of standards. By a lack of standards. This is the flip side and the opposite of overprotection. When parents fail to discipline or discipline inconsistently, children are left kind of on their own. They cannot handle that kind of freedom and begin to feel insecure and unloved. As parents, we have to provide standards and guidelines and boundaries for our children. And as a child, if you look at your parents and you go, well, they allow it, the question is what is God's standard? What does Scripture say? Because as you grow into an adult, and as you grow into a young man or a young woman that's out on your own, and you move out of your parents' house, those standards need to be yours. Those guidelines need to be yours. Those barriers that you've established, they need to be yours, and they need to be based on Scripture. Is God's Word your standard that you are establishing your daily walk on? That's something that you are responsible to do. Number 8, parents can exasperate their children by criticism. By criticism. Parents should seek to create in the home a positive, constructive environment. That's what needs to be established in the home. As parents, that's our desire. We don't want to be overly critical of our children. And I know that I personally have been guilty of this at times because I see something that I go, well, they could have done better. They didn't give their best. And I was overly critical about that. The truth is I love and I care for my children, but I'm also human and I can make mistakes as a parent. Be willing to give your parents some leeway and communicate to them if something is sharp, if something is critical, if something hurts. Say, help me understand. I want to grow. You want to have the mindset of I want to grow. I want to grow in my walk with the Lord. I want to grow in my abilities as a human being. And then evaluate yourself from the standpoint of, was there actual validity to that criticism that I could learn and grow from? Nobody likes to be criticized. Nobody. I don't, you don't, no one does. It hurts our ego, it hurts our pride. Is my pride getting in the way of hearing something that I need to hear that will help me grow? And if it's something, if it's done in a way that is hurtful and painful, be willing to talk to your parents in a very humble way and share with them and say, help me understand. Be willing to do that. Number 9, parents exasperate their children by neglect. The classic biblical example of this is Absalom. David neglected and was indifferent towards Absalom. And the result was rebellion, civil war, and ultimately Absalom's death. Parents need to be involved in their children's lives. They cannot neglect them. And as children, you've got to communicate your needs. Because as parents, we don't always know what your needs are. We might be neglecting something that we don't realize is a need that you have. You have to be willing to communicate that and talk about it. Because you would hope that someone would do that for you if you were neglecting a need that they had. And instead of just cutting you off or acting out against you, they would come and talk to you. We all would be in that boat. We all would desire that. Be willing to give that to your parents. Number 10, finally, parents exasperate their children by excessive discipline. This is the parent who abuses his children either verbally, emotionally, or physically. Parents often say things to their children that they would never say to anyone else, because they feel that they have control over their child. Parents should never discipline their children in anger. Rather, parents should lovingly correct their children just as their Heavenly Father does to them. That's something that we're called to as parents, that we cannot exasperate our children by excessive discipline. Our discipline needs to be grounded in wisdom and discernment and in love for our children. And as a child, make sure that you are not acting out in anger towards your parents. I remember whenever I was in high school, as kids, we'd roughhouse and things like that, and gym and basketball and football. And if somebody would come over and punch you in the arm, you'd punch them in the arm back. And it was just good fun. And the girls are going, "What are you talking about? I can't believe you'd be doing this." But guys would do this. And it would sometimes escalate. And all of a sudden, it would get a little rough. In the same way, between a relationship between a child and a parent, if a child acts out in anger, the parent should not respond in anger, but sometimes it escalates. Take the role of de-escalating that. Take the role of de-escalating. A soft answer turns away wrath. What is my attitude? As a child, you have to ask, what is my attitude towards my parents? Am I acting in love? Now, if you are doing those things and it's continuing to become excessive discipline, be willing to talk to them. Be willing to sometimes talk to a leader to be able to get a different perspective and an understanding. Because understand, in most situations, not all, but in most situations, the truth is, your parents love you, they care for you, they want the best for you, but they are learning, they are growing. Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and only in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" That's the goal. That's what we want to do. You know, eventually there's going to be a natural change in the relationship with your parents. When you grow up and you move out of the house and you get married, you're going to transition to what's talked about in Genesis 2:24. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And you're going to grow into a point that you are a parent, Lord willing, if that's what the Lord has for you. But while you're in this role as a child, be willing to be obedient and to honor your parents. When it comes to application, there's really four things. Number one, purpose to obey and honor your parents. Purpose to do it because it is pleasing to the Lord. That is something that we are called to as children in the home under the guidance and direction of our parents, we're to do. Number two, pray for God's strength and encouragement to do that. That's not natural for you to do because you are a natural sinner. You have a sin nature. But your goal is to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, that you are putting on Christ's likeness. Go back if you need to and read Colossians 3, 1 through 17, especially 12 through 17, and look at those verses of what am I to be putting on? How am I supposed to be acting? So first was purpose to obey and honor your parents. Two is pray for God's strength and encouragement. Number three, be willing to talk to your parents. Be willing to talk to your parents. Communicate with them. One of the greatest things, I've said this before in numerous situations in business and in the home, no relationship gets better through less communication. More communication is a good thing. It's excellent for me and my wife. It's good for me and my children. It's good for me and my coworkers. It's good for me and clients. More communication is a good thing because it begins to help us to see the other person's perspective. If you're unwilling to see the other person's perspective, chances are you're going to be self-centered. The goal is to see both perspectives so you can see the whole picture. And lastly, number four, trust in God's sovereign control. No matter your situation, no matter where you're at, God is sovereignly and providentially in control. He is guiding everything that your parents do to train you, to grow you into His likeness. That is the truth. I appreciate you listening this morning. I hope that this passage has been a challenge and an encouragement to you as a child or as a parent that's listening to this. I'm grateful for this passage. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you desire to grow us in the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing statement that the God of this universe desires to be involved in every single moment of our lives, every single aspect of our lives, in our marriages, husbands and wives, in our relationships between parents and children. God is desiring to grow us in our likeness of Christ, that we put on Christ's likeness, that we grow in sanctification. Father, I thank you that you're willing to do that. And I know that, Father, you do that through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us the strength, the wisdom, the discernment to act in these ways, that you would empower us to respond correctly, to have the right mindset, to desire to grow in sanctification, to desire to put on Christ-likeness and to put off the worldly mindset that we have through our sin nature, that we recognize our place in Christ and our standing before God. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct us in all that we do and say in our relationship as parents to children and children to parents in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.